Well, hello everybody on this lovely August, first Sunday in August, yes, 2019. We're always looking forward to call upon Deacon Sullivan to open us in a rousing prayer of faith.
Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here to worship you today, we ask a special prayer for all the people who were affected yesterday from the tragedies from Texas to Ohio, Lord, and I ask that you don't let the enemy use this to further divide us, fathers. That's the plan. There's many ways they like to divide us, Lord, and this will only be used to their advantage, Father. I ask that you protect us from that, and we all see what who the real enemy is here. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.
Good prayer. Thank you. We give thanks to thee, O Lord.
We give thanks to thee, O Lord.
That's it.
For thy name is dear.
Thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. We give thanks to thee, O Lord. We give thanks. For thy name is near. Thy wondrous works men declare. We give thanks to thee, O Lord, we give thanks. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth shall I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the name, O Most High. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give Him praise, and give Him praise. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give Him praise, give Him praise. Give glory and honor and power to His name, Jesus, the name above all names. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad that our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad, our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns, our God reigns. Yes, he does. Well, those are great songs to sing as we were talking about the things that have been going on, and of course some of the scary stuff that happens out there. How do we dispel that? By singing unto the Lord a new song, and of course trusting in the Lord, as Psalm 91 talks about. Well, today in my quips and quotes, here's five lessons in life from Dr. Seuss. Today you are you. That is truer than true. There is none alive who is youer than you. Why fit in when you were born to stand out? You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. Today, I shall behave as if this is the day I will be remembered. I think that's some good wisdom there, folks. As Corrie Ten Boom puts it, if the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy. We have to understand it's very easy for enemy to trap us in an endless cycle of tasks that can very well keep your focus away from God. Being under Satan's yoke. Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, he said, "We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them have their covered dish dinners, but steal their time so they don't have time to develop a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do," said the devil. "Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day." "How shall we do this?" his demon shouted. "Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds." He answered, "Tempt them to spend, 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 and borrow, borrow, borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours each day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children As their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds, though they cannot hear that still small voice. Entice them to play the radio or cassette player whenever they drive, to keep the TV, VCR, DVDs, CDs, and their PC going constantly in their homes, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music constantly. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, mail order catalogs, sweepstakes, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering free products, services, and false hopes. Keep skinny but beautiful models on the magazines and TV so their husbands will believe that their outward beauty is what's important and will become dissatisfied with their wives. Keep the wives too tired to love their husbands at night. Give them headaches too. If they don't give their husbands the love they really need, they will begin to look elsewhere. This will fragment their families very quickly. Give them Santa Claus to distract them from teaching their children the real meaning of Christmas. Give them an Easter bunny so they won't talk about his resurrection and power over sin and death. Even in their resurrection, a recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them busy, 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 busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences. Crowd their lives with so many good causes they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. It will work. It was quite a plan. The demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and more rushed, going here and there, having little time for their God or their families, having no time to tell others about the power of Jesus to change lives. I guess the question is, has the devil been successful in his schemes? You be the judge. Does busy mean being under Satan's yoke? Yes, it does. It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself. Subject opinion to coercion? Whom will you make your inquisitors? Thomas Jefferson, in 1781. C.S. Lewis describes hell in his short book, The Great Divorce. It is a place where you get to live forever with only yourself and your unfulfilled chaotic dreams. Did you know July 29th, 1775, the U.S. Army Chaplaincy was formed, making it the second oldest branch of that service after the infantry? The scriptures tell us to stand. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The sacred rights of mankind are not to be rummaged for among old parchments or rusty records. They are written as with a sunbeam in the whole volume of human history by the hand of divinity itself, and can never be erased or obscured by mortal power. Alexander Hamilton, 1775. The optimist looks at the horizon and sees an opportunity. The pessimist peers into the distance and fears a problem. I'm a great believer in luck. The harder I work, the more of it I seem to have. Here's wisdom through the ages on anger. Publicus Sirius said, "An angry man is angry with himself when he returns to reason." Ben Franklin said, "Whatever is begun in anger ends in shame." Will Rogers warned, "People who fly into a rage always make a bad landing." Anger is even listed as one of the seven deadly sins, a classic list of key sins which lay at the root of many other sins. And by the way, did you know that the truth sounds like hate, to those that hate the truth. Yes. Well, if you will join me in turning in your Bibles to the 46th chapter of the book of Isaiah. That's Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. And that chapter of Scripture has 13 verses. So, we will have three of us read four, and one of us read, four times three. So, we'll each read three, and one will read four. And we'll start with me reading the first three. So I'm reading from Isaiah 46 in the English Standard Version, beginning at verse 1. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops, their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together, they cannot save the burden, but themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. I've just read from Isaiah 46, verses 1 to 3, from the English Standard Version. We'll go around counterclockwise, so Sean, you read the next three.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 4 through 6. Even told your age I am, he and two gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal, and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith. If he makes into a god, then they fall down and worship. I read from the English Standard Version, Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 through 6.
And continuing the ESV, verses 7 through 9. They lift it to their shoulders, they carry it. They set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from his trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. And that was Isaiah chapter 46 from the ESV, verses 7 through 9.
Okay, and finishing, Isaiah chapter 46, verses 10 through 13 from the English Standard Version. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory. For Israel my glory. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 10 through 13 from the English Standard Version.
Praise the Lord. I also wanted to read another passage of Scripture. At Psalm chapter 34, you can turn there quickly if you like. Psalm 34, a couple of verses there I wanted to read. A pretty famous one that encourages me. I hope it encourages you as well. In verse 7 of Psalm 34, English Standard Version, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers him. And the converse of that is the angel of the Lord does not encamp around those who don't fear him and does not deliver them. Keep that in mind. And then in verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit. And of course, there are many scriptures that tell us how the Lord is, of course, close to the brokenhearted and those of a contrite spirit. So people who are not of a contrite spirit, the Lord's not close to them because they've chosen not to have him close to them. And I mentioned, I think it was last week, 1 Samuel 15, 22, and I'm going to read it from the Geneva Bible. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23, actually. I like to read these things directly from the Bible because many times people say, oh, that can't be in the Bible. But it is. So 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 and 23. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as when the voice of the Lord is obeyed? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and transgression is wickedness and idolatry. Because thou hast cast away the word of the Lord, therefore he hath cast away thee from being king. Now, of course, this passage of Scripture is describing what the Lord said to Saul about being king, but don't be dissuaded in believing this is also indicative of the nature of our Heavenly Father. How do we know him? We know him through his word. And what he says he will do, he will do. And what he says he won't do, he won't do. So basically, I want to use as a theme here today, who gets cut off? Who gets cut off? We can ask the question as often as asked, you know, who really is a Christian? Who's saved? Who isn't saved? There are many passages of Scripture that say, of course, the saved follow the commandments of the Lord and the statutes of the Lord. And there are many people that are using excuses, of course, obviously, who will be cut off. And the Scriptures have provided for us an answer to that, as we've just looked at Isaiah 46 in particular, where the Lord is telling us that those people that are of a stubborn mind, and there are many people that say, I can do what I want, in verse 12, listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. Now, whenever I read Scripture, I ask the question of the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, we need you to be our teacher. But I ask this question of the Holy Spirit, is that me? Am I that person there that's being mentioned? And I want to make sure that I keep it in the right context, you know, in the right pretext. Is that me? Am I stubborn of heart? Because if I am, I be those you who are far from righteousness. And of course, the idea, what is righteousness but right standing with the Lord? And being far from righteousness means being far from right standing of the Lord. Now, I suppose some people would say, don't judge me. Okay, all right, so we can make an evaluation. How about don't judge yourself? Well, the Lord expects us to judge ourselves, as he tells us, if you will just judge yourself. And of course, we would assume that to be judge yourself according to the Holy Spirit. then you would not need to be judged by men. But if you won't judge yourself according to the Holy Spirit, then you can be sure you're going to get judged by men. And so the question is, we would ask, listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness. Who gets cut off? I would suggest to you the people that get cut off are the stubborn of heart that are far from righteousness, particularly because of what verse 13 says. I bring near my righteousness, it's not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Now, don't be dissuaded by the fact of saying this is talking about Zion, and of course talking about Israel. And today, of course, we won't get into this discussion about what's true Israel and what's true Zion. You know, there's a lot of people are Zionists, and that's, I guess, not so good. I mean, the true Israel of God, that's good. But the point here, according to our theme of who gets cut off, is those people that are stubborn of heart, who are far from righteousness. And they have no excuse, because the righteousness of the Lord is close by. And as we have read in Psalm 34, that the angel of the Lord encamps about them that believe. And as I said in reading the converse of that, that means the angel of the Lord does not encamp about those who don't believe and those who aren't trusting the Lord, those that are stubborn, those that are not accepting the Lord's righteousness, even though it's right there for them. I mean, it seems so ridiculous that there are people, and I pray God that I'm not one of them, that we're this close to what is righteous in the things of the Lord, but yet we still won't enter in. It's like saying, okay, I learned something in the ocean years ago. That whenever you jump in the ocean off a boat, make sure you tie a rope around your waist. And the reason for that is because once you're in the ocean, I found that out the hard way, your viewpoint is, even if it's a small wave, when you're in the ocean and you're kind of flat on the water and a small wave, you won't be able to see where the boat is. I was shocked that that happened to me. Nobody told me about that, and before I jumped in the water, I had to learn this the hard way. Fortunately, I didn't learn it the hard way of not being picked up by the boat and get back on the boat and being out there treading water or being eaten by the sharks or whatever would happen. But from then on, if I jump off the boat, sometimes it would be really hot and I'd want to cool off, so I'd jump off the boat, but I'd tie a rope around my waist and tie the rope around a cleat so that I wouldn't lose the boat. And so this is true of many people in their lives because of things they're doing in their lives. They're this close to the righteousness of the Lord because the Lord puts His righteousness, His salvation there for them. But there's something in their lives, and that stubbornness of heart, that they're going to get cut off. Yes, there are people that get cut off, just the same as if I had not tied a rope around my waist after jumping in, and there were times I jumped in the ocean where the waves were quite high, I would have been cut off from the ship that could save me, the ship that I could get out of the water and be safe. And it's the same thing with many people in their lives. Their stubborn hearts and the things that they're addicted to have kept them from the righteousness of the Lord, and the Lord has said, it's right here, so close to you. Reach out to me, I will help you. And of course we know there are many people, I remember having this discussion many years ago with a fellow that said, well, hey, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get a free ride to heaven because I give a lot of money to charity and I help people. And so I said, that's wonderful. His name was Victor. I said, Victor, that's wonderful that you do that, but that's not going to get you into heaven. And he'd even said to me, how about if I make a donation to your church? Is that going to you know, get me some brownie points with the Lord? I said, well, if you give, the Lord certainly will bless your giving, but that's not going to buy you a trip to heaven, because the scriptures are very plain about that. And he was a very egotistical kind of guy. And he made quite a bit of money in construction. He thought he could buy his way into everything. But I had to tell him, Victor, and as it turned out, he decided he didn't like my answer, so he didn't give a donation anyway, but which is all right. I told him the truth. You can't buy your way to heaven. You might get a blessing for giving, obviously, because the Lord does say, what you do for the poor, I will repay. So if you give to the poor and give to people in need and help people and so forth, but it's not going to buy you that righteousness the Lord's talking about. That comes through our submission to the Lord. And of course, once again, in citing those scriptures in 1 Samuel 15, 22, and 23. And I cited that to this fellow Victor. I said, you know, the Lord wants, he doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your gifts. You know, you can put stained glass windows into the church. You can buy church pews and, you know, fix them up, or take old church pews and put pads on them, whatever else. That'd be nice for the people. That's nice that you do that. But the Lord's not impressed with that. What he's impressed with is your obedience. Because when he says that in verse 23, that rebellion is likened to the sin of witchcraft. And you think about it for a minute and look at people's lives and see to the degree of rebellion they have in their life, the degree of witchcraft. And believe me, I think that drug addiction, I think that homosexuality, abortion, all of these things, of course, are against the will of the Lord, and our stubbornness of heart, those people are going to be cut off, though many of them don't think they will be, but they're being deceived by the enemy. They're so busy about a lot of stuff, but they're not at the right place with the Lord, and so they will be cut off. And so when we think about these people, and there's many of them throughout the whole world that are not obeying the scripture, the Lord wants our obedience more than he wants our money, our contributions of time, or whatever else. All those things are good, but the Lord wants our obedience most of all, and that is a great source of protection. And of course, the way the Lord puts it there in 1 Samuel 15, likened to the sin of witchcraft. If I said to somebody who's a homosexual, an abortionist, or a drug addict, you're practicing witchcraft, they'd say, no, I'm not. What are you talking about? I don't have anything to do with that. Yes, you do. Your actions are part of the devil's bag of tricks. Your actions aren't part of the Lord's way. And of course, a lot of people have kept these things secret. Recently, as you know, in the news, how some official from who was with the Clinton aristocracy, it's a funny way of putting it, and I guess others too, Jeffrey Epstein, was a pervert. He's been involved in all this kind of stuff. Maybe he thinks he's untouchable. Of course, when he was in jail, they said he tried to strangle himself. I don't know how that could happen, but anyway. His life is in danger, and more so because of the things that he did, that he's being cut off from the Lord. So the only hope for him is for him to repent. And the opportunity that the Lord offers, no matter what your sin is, what you've done, I can save you, but you're going to have to make some amends. So who gets cut off? The stubborn of heart that refuse the righteousness of the Lord. That's who gets cut off. Now, some people might say, well, that's your opinion, Garrett. Well, you might look at it that way, but you'd be hard-pressed to argue that point, that it's my opinion, after looking at these scriptures, and I can certainly come up with lots more scriptures to define what I'm saying. Listen to me, you stubborn of heart, you who are far from righteousness, I bring near my righteousness, it's not far off, and my salvation will not delay. So when somebody really repents, and they really reach out to the Lord for help, the Lord doesn't delay that help coming. I had somebody here this week. Not sure why he came, actually. If he was reaching out for help or not, I can't say. But if I really thought that his cause was righteous, I wouldn't delay helping him any more than the Lord says, I will not cut you off if you repent. I will not cut you off if you come to me. I won't delay. I won't tell you, hey, I'll get back to you. Like some people will tell you, you know, oh yeah, okay, I'll get back to you. And usually they say that because they don't tell you how long it's going to take them to get back to you. And you better hope that you're not along the side of the road out of gas in trouble. Oh, I'll get back to you. The Lord says, I will not delay. Let's pray. God our Father, you teach us every single day what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to obey you. I don't want to see anyone get cut off. I don't want to be cut off. And so, Lord, as we bow humbly before you, and we say, okay, they that humble themselves in the sight of the Lord will lift them up. And what does that mean, being lifted up? If we were stuck in the miry clay, we were stuck in quicksand, we surely would be happy that somebody came along with a crane or some kind of a boom or a lift to lift us out of the quicksand that we're sinking in. And that they didn't delay saying, I'll get back to you, as we're sinking down, and because sometimes getting back to us would be too late. You don't delay. As soon as somebody repents and turns to you, you pull them out of that quicksand of life and help them. And Lord, we do pray for our president today. We know that he's making a lot of decisions that are good, but he's making a lot of decisions that are not very good. We know he's under a lot of influence by a lot of people for a lot of reasons. We know some crazy things are being said about many people are saying that they're going to attack him and punch him and all kind of things like that. So we know that there's a lot of anarchy out there and a lot of chaos. But we still look to you as always. You're the author and finisher of our faith, and you're the one who keeps us from being in chaos. Chaos is not a good thing. And Lord, thank you that we remember who we are in you. Thank you, Jesus. And they wouldn't be so busy, because unfortunately we know that being under Satan's yoke means, in many cases, so busy we have no time to be with you. Oh Lord, thank you for your help. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.